Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Lie, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a diabetic? Or do you know someone who is a diabetic? Tell me, would you like to learn more about what diabetics should or should not eat? Have you ever wanted to know what comfort foods diabetics can eat? Can you imagine what the best fast food would be for a diabetic? Tell me, do you know what the best sugar substitutes are? And when was the last time you heard about eating a healthy breakfast? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to eat successfully as a diabetic? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice for diabetics and their families. Before I introduce my guest, I'd love to invite you to call in during the show. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. I'm pleased to announce today that our show is featured on the front page at Blog Talk Radio as a staff pick, and I am honored to be a feature host, and we now have over 1 million wonderful listeners. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012, which was very exciting news for me. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. She is an award-winning cookbook author, nutritionist, and the food editor of Diabetics Forecast magazine. She has written 14 cookbooks, including the American Diabetics Association bestseller, Diabetic Meals in 30 Minutes or Less. She has numerous media credits, including Food Network, Martha Stewart Radio, Lifetime Television, Discovery Channel, CNN, CBS, ABC, ESPN, and many more. Her works have been highlighted in The Washington Post, Women's Day, USA Today, Fine Cooking, and many others. It is my pleasure to welcome to this show today, Robin Webb. Hi, Robin. How are you doing
today?
Hi,
how are you? I'm good.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to sharing you with my listeners. Now, let's talk about how did you get into writing? What prompted you to write cookbooks for diabetics?
Well, my entire family, both sides, my mother and my father's side, I have people with diabetes, and I saw very early on, as early as childhood, various people in the family, some doing better than others, but I had always been interested in how one manages their diabetes. And I went to school for nutrition, of course. I'm a nutritionist. And then the American Diabetes Association contacted me, oh, probably about 1994, to start doing some work for them. And then more work became more work with them. And it's currently what I do specialize in. Uh-huh. As you have said, I actually have written 16 cookbooks now. Most every one of them, not every single one, but most every single one is for people with diabetes. Mm-hmm. And it's just something I've committed myself to, and I think that people with diabetes, since it's such a self-management disease, really mm-hmm. just need the tools to manage it themselves. Not that if they need their physician, they need their nutritionist, but they also can manage so much on themselves. So uh-huh. they need the right information, and that's why I do what I do.
Okay, and this cookbook, you had one cookbook called Comfort Foods, and what is mm-hmm. this?
That was my very last cookbook that I just did, and I'm proud to say, January, that it is number one in all diabetic cookbooks on Amazon. It's number one on the American Diabetes Association website. It's number, and it's way up there in total books of Amazon. It's like in the top 5%. It's done great. It's won 2 awards, one of them international. So it's done really, 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 really well. It's my best book. It's my prettiest book, too. So I'm very happy with the book. And it's great. It's everything comfort food that you would never think that people with diabetes can eat, and they can. So it was
okay.
great to report on.
So what are some of the favorite comfort foods that are in your book for diabetics?
Well, you know, the one that always gets all the accolades on Amazon, it's really cute, is my mac and cheese. I had one woman write, just buy the book for the mac and cheese alone, and that was her entire review. I mean, it was so sweet. So, I mean, I have things like that. I have things like, you know, great grilled cheese. I have meatloaf. I have, you know, everything you probably grew up with is
uh-huh.
in the book, as well as international. A lot of people forget that in very small little restaurants all over Europe,
mm-hmm.
they serve absolutely typical comfort food. And I travel all over Europe.
Uh-huh.
I travel every year. And so I brought back some of the real homey recipes from old Europe to put in the book as well. So it's a combination of everything. And then there's great desserts, and I got brownies and all kinds of
uh-huh.
stuff. And everything meets our guidelines for people with diabetes. So it's all
okay.
it's all perfectly, perfectly
uh-huh.
good.
And so, obviously, these fast foods, these recipes are for people, they're not just for diabetics. Anyone can eat them and enjoy them, right?
Exactly. And one of the things that we want to we strive for at the American Diabetes Association is to let people know that all of us, everything that we possess is great for people with pre-diabetes, people
uh-huh.
with heart disease,
uh-huh.
People who just want to lose weight. So you're right, it's not just for people with diabetes. Because there really is no diabetic diet. It's a healthy, you know, low-fat, high-fiber food program that is suitable for anybody really to follow.
Okay, now what about Italian food and especially pastas? Are you able to continue eating pasta if you're a diabetic?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's also a matter of great portion control. You know, most people think about pasta, you know, they don't have one cup. They have 7 cups, which is not what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
So in the book, I created an entire pasta section with really highly flavorful sauces, a lot of them using a lot of vegetables, so that the proportions are inverted. Rather than a small amount of vegetables and a large amount of pasta, it's a small
uh-huh.
amount of pasta and a large amount of vegetables.
Okay,
so
yeah,
it's really
it.
A matter of knowing what to do. Yeah, and
okay,
it's really that we say is off limits.
Uh-huh. Now tell me, what are some of the best sugar substitutes for diabetics and for anyone for that matter?
Well, it's a very good question because I really, in this book as well as most of my other books, I really don't use what we call low-calorie sweeteners. A lot of people refer to them as artificial sweeteners.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in just small amounts of sweeteners. I even do use sugar. It doesn't mean that when a person with diabetes thinks sugar is not going to be good for them. It, again, has to be in the right proportions. So, I also try to keep my recipes, you know, low in fat and low in total carbohydrates, I also like to cook very naturally. So, there will be recipes with a very small amount of sugar, a very small amount of honey. I do also like stevia, which is a no-calorie sweetener, but it is completely natural. So I tend to, and this is me personally, this is different than the American Diabetes Association requirement, but I tend to personally cook
I'm glad to hear you talk about stevia, because I've tried to, my husband and I, we both try to eliminate sugar from our diet just for health reasons. We're not diabetic, but we just want to eat healthier.
Sure.
And so I use stevia, and I've become so fond of it, and it's a wonderful substitute for me. Now, can you recommend some websites that have healthy recipes that people can go to? Does your website feature recipes?
My website does, which is robinweb.com. But, of course, the American Diabetes Association, you can get, in addition to my recipes, you can get lots of other recipes. And that's very simple. It's just diabetes.org. And that is where, you know, have people with diabetes first go to for their go-to resource for everything diabetes is the American Diabetes Association.
Okay, okay. Well, that's good for our listeners to know. And your website is posted on our show page today. Now, what about for a cocktail or a glass of wine? Can a diabetic do that?
Sure. And, again, it's a matter of careful menu planning. This is why we highly suggest that when people are diagnosed with diabetes that they go visit a registered dietitian and let that dietitian know their lifestyle. And they would like to have a glass of wine. So how do they fit it in? It's all a matter of numbers. It's all a matter of making sure you take your blood sugar, see how foods react with your blood sugar. It doesn't mean that you can't have something. You know, everyone's an individual, and thank God for that, right?
Right.
Everyone needs something different. So I do have my own clients who do have diabetes where I'm able to work in a glass of wine. I mean, anything in excess, of course, is not great for any of us. But it doesn't mean that a person with diabetes has to swear off everything that they've been used to. It's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of really working your food programs so everything works.
Well, that's such good news for diabetics who are listening and their families. It's just a question of moderation and getting some good counseling to help you on this quest to eat healthy.
Yeah, the counseling, exactly, January. I cannot overstress the counseling more enough. You know, I know a lot of people like to do things on their own, and that's very admirable. It truly is. But, you know, when it comes to figuring out a food program and numbers and counting carbohydrates and, you know, overall calories, you really need the assistance of somebody who's trained. And it will save you a lot of heartache as well. So you might as well just do it because this is what they're there for. I highly suggest a professional.
Well, no, you know, I'm a chocoholic, and I always promote chocolate for all the problems in life. But is chocolate a problem for diabetics?
Yeah, again, it's a matter of fitting it in, you know. I mean, we would recommend certainly a dark chocolate, something with just a very high cocoa count versus sugar. It's one of those things that you would bring to a dietitian and say, you know, I really do like chocolate. How might we be able to fit it in? And it might be a whole lot less than you've been used to. It might be that you can't do it anymore at all. I mean, it might be that you can have the same amount. We don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that, again, has to be worked with a registered dietitian to see if it can fit in the food program. I mean, you know, chocolate's some different calories. It does have fat. It's something that you want to. You want to look at the goals that you want to achieve. And everyone with diabetes has different goals. There are people with diabetes that do not need to lose any weight at all. Their main goal is blood sugar control. We have people there are people who want to lose weight, blood sugar control. I want to run a marathon. You know, so there's just a lot of different needs.
Well, you know, there's so many sugar-free chocolates, and everything you see on the shelves is sugar-free. Now, are these options a good option for a diabetic?
Well, it would depend. You know, you would think I would say immediately yes, but I have a little hesitation in my voice.
Yeah.
With good reason. Some of the, what we call sugar-free products, are made with what we call sugar alcohols. Anything ending in T-O-L, so you see something called like xylitol, mannitol. The problem with those, January, is for some people, they could really cause some gastric distress. So you want to be really careful. Something that's also sugar-free isn't calorie-free. And as intelligent people are, they can automatically think, oh, this is sugar-free, so it's much healthier for me.
Uh-huh.
And still has calories. So it's not something that you should go in free fall with. So I would advise probably not saying, oh, well, now I can have as much sugar-free products as I want. Rather, looking at what you enjoy having. And even if it's something just real, like a really good dark piece of chocolate, how do I fit in a small half-ounce portion versus eating an entire sugar-free chocolate?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. And again, that's a personal viewpoint. I'm just not a big fan of a lot of the sugar-free products.
That's very interesting. You know, Robin, we're going to take a break now and hear a word about your host. And when we come back, I want to talk about your healthy mac and cheese. We'll be right back with Robin Webb.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Robin Webb, who is an expert on diabetic eating, and she has written 16 books. Robin, would you again please give your website and tell my listeners where they can get your books?
Sure. My website is my name, Robin, Robin with a Y, so it's R-O-B-Y-N, Webb, W-E-B-B, just run that all together. com. And the book is available either on Amazon, of course, or you can also get it on the American Diabetes Association website at diabetes.org.
Okay, and the last book was Comfort Food, so that sounds very, very comforting.
The American Diabetes Association Comfort Food book, yes. Yeah, it really, you know, I've been writing books so long, January, but I guess I just was so overwhelmed of the amount of sales that we have done on this book. I, you know, all my books have always done well. This one just was like through the roof, and I'm still kind of in awe about it all. But
well,
I guess the truth is people really were waiting for something that there are a lot of foods that they're familiar with. It's not that any of my other books were difficult or anything, but just, you know, you say comfort food and everyone comes running. It's amazing. So I'm going to very...
You don't get more comfortable than a healthy mac and cheese. And how did you create that? That sounds awesome.
Exactly. Well, one of the things that I did was, well, first of all, to make it really creamy, I started with I made my own sauce. So it's a skim milk based sauce infused with some lovely flavors, with some pepper and some bay leaf, and it's a kind of a white sauce that just simmers for a while, and then I just added in some extra sharp reduced. A little bit reduced fat cheese, and mixed that with the elbow noodles, and suggested whole wheat if you can to make it healthier. Added some Parmesan as well, and then just baked it. And our nutritional analysis came out much lower than typical mac and cheese. It's very creamy. It's just lovely. And again, that was one of the first reviews on Amazon, and I wish I'd heard of that review. I don't know who the woman is. I want to, like, go and thank her. Because how she just said, you know, that she said, just buy the book for the mac and cheese alone. And that was a whole review, and it was just so cute. And I was very grateful for that. But who doesn't love mac and cheese? So
everyone
that
does.
That was one of the first recipes that we tested for the book. So.
Oh, perfect. Now, if we go to a diabetic goes to a party and there's a table full of cookies, cakes, cheese, and crackers and or appetizers, what's the best option? What should they eat?
Well, I always tell people, before a party, unless you know your host really well and you know what they're going to be sharing, you know, go ahead and eat something probably before you go, so you're not tempted, you know, to just dive into the buffet table. The other thing is, you know, take a look around. Take a look around that buffet table. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll go to a buffet table, and like, all the cookies and the cakes and all the goodies are up front. Then somewhere, squirreled in the back, you know, the fruits and the vegetables, you know, it's kind of like they take a back seat. So really, I always tell people, take a really good look around to see what's first. So that you can, you know, eat something that's healthier.
If not,
think about during the day before you go to that party, they're probably going to have a cookie. They're probably going to have a cake. And maybe you do know your host well enough that she makes these incredible cookies and you really want one. Well, then you should have enough tools, if you've been seeing a registered dietitian, to work it, to think about your food program during the day so that you can allow for some treats. So I don't think it's really feeling like if you have diabetes, you can't go to a party or enjoy yourself. You have to carefully plan it. And then I always say, listen, a party, yes, a party's there for some of its food, but a party is mostly you go to see friends and to get out and to enjoy yourself.
Right.
So learn to do a little bit more of that than putting things in your mouth.
Okay. Now, what about your, you call the festival of carbs and meat? And this is the traditional ham, turkey, gravy, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, green bean, casserole, stuffings, you know, Thanksgiving or Easter. How would you change this meal and keep everyone at the table happy?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. I always recommend to people just making smaller amounts of the food so there isn't so much. I mean, who really needs, like, you know, a 20-pound ham sitting on the table? Maybe it's a much smaller amount that you prepare. Second of all is, you know, just look at little ways that you can cut back. So you make the mashed potatoes not with butter. You know, you make it with a little bit of olive oil and some chicken broth. Maybe with your stuffing, you switch it to whole wheat. You know, you don't necessarily have to say, okay, now we're not going to have any stuffing. We're going to just have tofu casserole or something. You don't have to do something like that. It's you know, changing up the fat a little bit, serving it in smaller portions. This brings to mind, it's a very good question, because it brings to mind what I did for the American Diabetes Forecast Magazine as food editor this past holiday season. We used individual portions of things. So instead of making stuffing in one giant casserole, which is really hard to portion out, and you know, there's temptation to keep going back, is to make little small casseroles of them, little ramekins of them. So if they're already pre-portioned, they look elegant, they look lovely, they're almost easier to prepare than one big giant casserole. So portion control is a big piece of this as well. Now, bear in mind, like anything, even for a person with diabetes, it is one day out of the calendar. So, you know, if you have a little bit more, is your diabetes going to spin out of control? Probably not. If you're somebody who's really been in control and you have a little bit more, I mean, there's not going to be much damage. I'm not giving people a license to just go crazy on the holiday.
Yeah.
But remember that it is one day. Now, if one day turns into 2 days and two into four into eight, then we have a problem.
Exactly.
So remember that it is only one day as well. And then try to do as many vegetables. You know, I think that's another key is that during the holiday time, it's starch, 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 and there's no green. So we want to make sure that there's enough vegetables on the table as well. People forget about them during the holidays. They're kind of an afterthought, and that needs to be on the table.
Sure. Now, let me ask you about if you're overweight or obese, does that mean eventually you will develop type 2 diabetes?
Well, it is a risk factor, January. It is a risk factor. So it's something, you know, it's a risk factor for everything, for heart disease, for cancer, for digestive problems. I mean, there's a lot of things related to obesity. So it's just a good idea to really lose weight. Does it always correlate? Are people who are obese, will they, you know, never get diabetes? Sure. I mean, there's plenty of people who are overweight who really, it always astounds me, but end up with good blood work and are fine. It astounds me. But then again, you have to look at, they're carrying extra weight, so even if it's not showing up in vital statistics, you know, blood work, it's showing up in the way that they're moving their body around in life, and it's harder, and they're breathing harder, and they're not enjoying life as much. So, you know, I would suggest anyone who really is overweight or obese, you need to get a professional assistance and lose the weight, because it's important.
Oh, yeah, it's so important. Now, one of the myths that everyone, I always thought, and other people have said this, eating too much sugar causes diabetes. Is this a fact?
Very, very good question. I'm glad that you asked it because it's still a kind of a quote-unquote myth that gets perpetuated. It isn't a direct cause and effect, A equals B. It doesn't happen that way. It's almost A equals B equals C equals D. In other words, if you have eat too much sugar, you're probably eating too many calories. You're eating too many calories and maybe you're not exercising, you're going to put on weight. What's one of the risk factors for diabetes? Being overweight. So it's kind of more like that versus eating a ton of sugar. But we know that eating a ton of sugar, what happens is, A, it's not nutritious. B, it crowds out other foods from getting into your diet. So if you're eating sugar constantly, unless you're somebody who's ravenously hungry all the time, you're probably full from eating that cake and cookies. When are you going to have time to put in some vegetables? So it just takes up some room in the diet. Otherwise, it would have been occupied with something healthier. So sugar is not the evil that we make it out to be in very small doses and this little treat. You know, that's fine. It doesn't directly, there isn't a direct A to B correlation between eating sugar and getting diabetes. But it's still a good idea. It's way back.
Okay, we have time for just one more question. If you have type 2 diabetes and your doctor says you need to start using insulin, does that mean you're failing to take care of your illness properly?
Well, if you need insulin, I mean, there does come a point for a lot of people. They've been working it through their food program. They've been working it through exercise, and their blood sugar is still having a little bit of trouble keeping stabilized. So insulin can be a big help. Thank God we have insulin. You know, the years when we didn't have insulin, it was very hard. Taking insulin, you know, if it's recommended by your physician to do so, you do so. It can really help. You have to be diligent with it. I always tell people a lot can be accomplished through exercise and diet. You need to, as soon as you're diagnosed with diabetes, don't fool around. You know, if you're diagnosed with just through exercise and changing your food program and your lifestyle, then you do it, and you do it 110%. It doesn't guarantee that you wouldn't ever go on insulin, but it can go a long way for keeping yourself healthy and stabilized without it. No one wants to go on insulin, let's face it. I'm not saying, I can't wait to go on insulin. No one wants it, but it does assist and it does help, and if your doctor prescribes it and you need it, you do it.
Well, you know, this has been so informative and wonderful, Robin, having you on the show. I think your book, Comfort Food, is truly a comfort to everyone who is a diabetic or for their families. Thank you so much for writing it, and I hope that you will come back and do another show with us over the holidays.
Sure, my pleasure.
I just have to share the show.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well,
to my listeners.
Pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed our show today, and be sure to catch this interview with all of our amazing guests with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week will amaze, amuse, and astonish you. They are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. If you've enjoyed our show today, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. We really love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And now for my chocolate quote of the day, money talks, chocolate sings. So for now, dear listeners, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. But remember, be very moderate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Robin Webb, author of Comfort Food. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Oh, when it came out of the envelope, when I opened the envelope.